In his book, The Denial of Death, cultural anthropologist Ernest Becker presents an argument centered on the idea that human behavior is primarily motivated by the fear of death. This book has had a huge impact in our society. And when he talks about the fear of death, he refers to this psychological anxiety of not existing anymore and being forgotten when you die. He says that man is the only animal, I'm sorry for the insult, but I'm just quoting him, that man is the only animal uniquely aware of his own mortality. That man pauses to think, to contemplate his future, and the only certainty he sees on the horizon is that he one day will inevitably face death. This certainty, according to him, creates a fundamental sense of fear, anxiety, and dread. Man's anxiety, he would say, about death is so profound that he embarks on a journey to transcend his mortality, striving to escape the reality of his immortality. His mortality. And he does that by constructing a reality and embracing a self-made, meaningful framework that provides a sense of value and purpose. In other words, he would say that man has to create lies. He has to tell himself lies in order to survive. Otherwise, he would not be able to live at all. So he posits that this fear drives individuals to create meaning and significance in their lives, often through cultural constructs, achievements, and the pursuit of immortality, whether literal or symbolic. I hope to be able, with the help and of the Holy Spirit, to show you that the passage that we are going to explore today delivers a profound message to our fear-driven world, and also, of course, to us. What is this message? This is what we're going to be considering today. So I will ask Autumn Richtie to come and read the passage for us today.
Our passage is Luke 2, 22 through verse 35. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.
Thank you, Anna. Good morning, everyone. My name is Roman Gonzalez, and if you are here for the first time, I'm the assistant pastor here at Ironworks. And today, I would like us to meditate on the following thing. The main point, really, of my sermon is that Jesus offers consolation, freeing us to live without fear. Jesus came to offer us consolation, freeing us to live without fear. And what I want to do, there is a lot to be unpacked in this passage, and I'm almost anxious about not being able to cover the whole thing. But what I want to do is to focus on the role of the Holy Spirit in Simeon's son when Jesus was presented and brought into the temple. I would like to consider this in the following way. I want to consider some characteristics of this song by Simeon. First, it was a song inspired by the Holy Spirit. Second, it was Simeon's farewell song. And thirdly, it was a song about life. It was a song about life. So let me then jump into my first point. It was a song inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, you may have not noticed it, but when Autumn was reading this passage, especially verses 29 through 32, that section is a song. Simeon is not just talking. He is not just saying, oh, wow, now I can die. He's actually singing something like, I don't know, now I can die because my eyes have seen the Lord. Something like that, I guess. I don't know. That was not inspired. Please don't quote me on that. Pastor Roman said that was the melody. No. But he's actually singing, but we didn't notice it. And how can we know that he's actually singing? Because the structure of the in the Greek reflects the Hebrew poetry, actually. And that's what he is saying, also the rhythm. And I don't want to go into too many technicisms. If you want, we can talk about this, but it is a song. Later, we can talk about that this is a song. What I want us to focus is that, what I want us to see is that this song resulted from being influenced by the Holy Spirit. This song is a song that resulted from being influenced by the Holy Spirit. Consider the description of the singer, Simeon, if I can call him a singer. Who was here? According to the passage that we just read, we really don't know much about him, but consider Luke's descriptions in verse 25 through 27. Simeon is a righteous man. He is devoted to God. He is patient, and we know that he is patient because the text says that he had been waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, when the Bible says that someone is a righteous man, he is not talking in terms of what we Presbyterians know by justification by faith alone in Christ alone. Luke is talking about that Simeon is a righteous man, is a just man in the way he treats others, in his relationship with others. He's a just, a righteous man in that sense. And then when it says that someone is devout, is talking about his relationship with God. So look at those descriptions. He is a righteous man and he's a devout guy. His relationship with God. And that's the reason why he is coming into the temple, because he's a devout guy. Now, if we keep considering the description that Luke is giving us of this guy, Simeon, pay close attention to the following descriptions of him. He was a Holy Spirit-filled man. He was a Holy Spirit-filled man. Verse 25, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Only that sentence could take us back to the Old Testament. I'm going to resist the temptation of not going there, because it's just a lot to unpack here. But he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. But not only that, he was a receiver of the Holy Spirit's revelation. He was a receiver of the Holy Spirit's revelation. The text says, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. Verse 26. And lastly, the Holy Spirit guided him into the temple. So in other words, Simeon was a guy who walked in the Holy Spirit. Literally speaking, is what the text says. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. That preposition there, in the Spirit, has also a lot to be unpacked. And I'm just going to summarize it as saying he was guided by the Holy Spirit. So what a description of a guy we have here. What a description of a man. He is deeply influenced by the Holy Spirit. He is living in the realm of the Holy Spirit of God. He is under his influence. And I would actually argue that the first three things that Luke tells us about him are a result of the last three that Luke tells us about him. That he was, you know, one, righteous, that he was devout, that he was patient. It's because he had the Holy Spirit upon him. It's because he had the revelation of the Holy Spirit in him. And it's because he walked in the Holy Spirit. Now, living in a world like our world, where it's hard to believe in the spiritual realm, believing that someone can be influenced, filled, guided by the Holy Spirit can sometimes be challenging, be difficult. But this is what the Bible says. Do you aspire to be a man, a woman, a young lady, a young man filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, the Bible says, right, if we read the Bible theologically also, we learn that the Holy Spirit is a gift of grace. You are given the Holy Spirit by grace, and then he transforms our lives. In the Bible, it doesn't support, I believe, the idea that you have to be transformed and change fears first in order to receive the Holy Spirit. It is the other way around. So I believe that being righteous, devout, and patient, in Simeon's case, results from being under the influence and guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. So he is deeply influenced by the Holy Spirit and lives under his guidance. He lives in the realm of the Holy Spirit. And you know, what is the importance of why is this important? Well, because this enabled him to recognize the Messiah. This enables him to see the Christ, to see the young couple, Mary and Joseph, entering into the temple and the baby and saying, aha, this is the one that I've been waiting for the whole time. And what is his reaction? His reaction is to sing about the little baby that he is seeing at the temple. And this gives me a first application for us. And the application is the following one. People influenced by the Holy Spirit is a singing people. I want you to think about that deeply. I want you to pause and consider what I just said. People influenced, guided, filled with the Holy Spirit is a singing people. It's people who sing. That is what the Bible teaches us. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20 says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. And then what follows is a command. But be filled with the Spirit. And then it says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then at this point you may say, okay, Roman, you are saying that I should be filled with the Holy Spirit, but how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? You just told us that the Holy Spirit is given by grace. Well, we need to distinguish between the giving of the Holy Spirit and the being filled with the Holy Spirit, which are two different things. And the Holy Spirit, and Paul does not say here, you know, if you feel like being filled with the Holy Spirit, if you consider that is a good idea, please, come on, guys, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command to the Christians that are enabled by possessing already the Holy Spirit, or better put, by being possessed by the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, Paul is saying in this context that we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command. But how do we do that? Well, the text keeps saying singing. And you know, in Greek, it tells us that singing is one way to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is powerful. Ironworks Church, friends that are visiting us for the first time, I hope that you will remember this. A way to be filled with the Holy Spirit, according to Paul and Luke, is by singing. When we sing, spiritual, powerful things happen. Do you remember when David used to sing for the king? His name, Saul. Thank you. I'm glad that you know your Bible. Because the pastor, it seems like he doesn't. But you remember what happened? Demons who would come and oppress and make Saul suffer would stop, would leave him because David would sing. Singing is a powerful tool that God has given his people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask this question. Have you stopped singing? Have you stopped singing? And let me exhort you, let me encourage you to sing out loud. You know, in the Bible, if you read in the book of Psalms, you will see constantly encouragement to say to us to sing, shout to the Lord, shout to the Lord, shout to the Lord. And the point is that his beauty, his magnificence, his greatness is so worthy of being, you know, communicated in a way that others can hear. So I encourage you to sing. And one way we can do it is, and this is a more specific application, how can we be filled with the Holy Spirit that will result in singing? Well, I think one way to be filled with the Holy Spirit is incorporating to your devotional time singing. Singing in when you are having your devotional time. You know, many of us, we just think about our devotional time as reading the Bible very fast because, you know, there are a million things to do during our days. And praying also very fast because there are a million things to do during the day. And also, you know, it's boring sometimes or most of the time. And we don't think about adding songs to our devotional time. There is a powerful thing happening when we sing. And I would encourage you, when you're here at church, sing out loud. If you know the songs, sing out loud. One of the dangers thinking that everything has to be professionalized in the church is just thinking that only the ones who went to school music can sing. Oh, that is so far away from truth. And I'm not saying that our musicians or singers are saying that, but I wonder if we believe that. So I would encourage all of us to sing out loud. If you know the songs, sing to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. It is a powerful tool to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I am not sure that I'm going to be able to finish actually my 3 points for my sermon. But my second point is, this is a farewell song. This is the song that Simeon is singing to depart from the world, basically. I want to reflect on Simeon's peaceful departure from the world. You know, the phrase, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, reveals at least four things. And I'm going to try to go really fast. The first thing, I already said it. One is that it's his farewell song. Do you know, this reminds me of, I'm far away. You know, guys, no, that's not right. Da na 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 bye. That was shouting to the Lord. I know that song is not in our hymn books, not our tradition, right? No. But it doesn't matter. It's a good song. So this is basically one of those songs. Simeon is singing, you know, this is the day that I was waiting for. Now I can fly away. Second, notice that what he says also gives and reveals the fulfillment of a profound purpose for his own life. It's the fulfillment of a profound purpose. As I said, Simeon is kind of saying, this is the day I was waiting for. for, as some have said, I was born for this. I was born for this. Now I can die. You know, the world today has lost the sense of living for higher purposes. This is the world in which we live today. There is no deeper meaning, higher sense of purpose. And you know, sometimes and I'm not saying that this is the only reason, but it could be one reason, that sometimes our fears, our anxieties have taken hold of us, making us hesitant to risk our lives for Christ, let alone die for him. Because I do believe that in a sense, Ernest Becker is right that especially today, we live in a fear-driven world. Now, third, this farewell song also reveals an intense sense of expectation. Do you live with a sense of expectation for the second coming of our Christ? Now imagine Simeon at home one day when he hears the voice of the Holy Spirit. Somehow he knows it, that it is the Holy Spirit speaking to him. And the Spirit says, Simeon, you've been waiting for the consolation of Israel. I'll tell you, you will not die before you see the Messiah with your own eyes. You know, the text says that the text doesn't say how long Simeon waited. It doesn't specify how young was, how old was he when he received this revelation. It doesn't specify now how old he is. But based on knowing that that when in the Bible uses the word wait, it means wait for a long time, like really wait. It's not, you know, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was probably waiting for his whole life. And now that he is in an old age, right, he is seeing the consolation of Israel. In seeing Christ, he is seeing the consolation of Israel. He did not get tired of waiting. He waited his whole life, patiently waited his whole life for the consolation of Israel. On the way, on his waiting, right, he didn't get discouraged. He didn't get disappointed in waiting in the promise of the Lord. Are you getting tired of waiting? Are you living with a sense of expectation that the Lord is coming? Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit are those who wait. You know, the church of God is patiently waiting. You are waiting. You don't get discouraged. You don't get disappointed because God has sent his Holy Spirit into your heart so that you can wait. It's not that you are super smart and have figured it out and you know that Christ is coming for sure because you have three evidences that he, or a list of 20 reasons why you know that he is coming. It is because the Holy Spirit is sustaining you so that you can believe and trust in him. And lastly, this song also reflects that it is a song. In his song, there is no fear of death. In Simeon's song, there is no fear of death. Notice that Simeon exhibits no fear of death. Instead, the Holy Spirit has enabled him to face death without fear. You know, you might be familiar with the popular saying by this investor, Charlie, I think it's Munger, if you know him, you can correct my Mexican Latin pronunciation. But he says that he's known for saying, all I want to know is where I'm going to die, so I'll never go there. Or others have put it this way, if I knew the time and place of my death, I would avoid it entirely. And you know, you get the idea. People often approach death with fear and avoidance. And it's justifiable. I'm not saying that we should not. But look at that. Simeon is departing, and he's not anxious. And he's not fearful of death. And I believe that that is showing us the powerful, profound effects that the Holy Spirit has on believers to calm our anxiety. In a era where the therapeutic self is everywhere, we may be tempted as a church to dismiss and downplay the role of the Holy Spirit calming our anxiety. We need to realize that there is, for us, church, a supernatural power available for us in communion and fellowship with the second person of the Trinity. Okay, I have kind of 2 more minutes. And I have my third point that I'm going to finish in 3 minutes. The last thing I'm going to share with you guys is that this is a song about life. And you're going to say, how is this a song about life? If Simeon is saying, bye world, I'm leaving you, how is it that it's a song about life? Well, the context in which this story is taking place is about life. Seriously, I would need to read these 2 pages to finish my sermon, but I'm just going to try to summarize it for you because I want you to get this third point. At the beginning, we are told that Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus are coming into the temple to fulfill the ritual of purification according to the law of Moses. I know that for us, all this language in the Old Testament related to ceremonials and rituals and all that sounds so strange, so foreign, so out of this world, our world, because we didn't grow up in that. And if you don't have any Catholic background, you kind of, it's hard to understand all this ceremonialism and ritualism and all that. I'm going to tell you one thing that I learned as I was preparing my sermon for today, something that I never saw before. And as I started to think about those first verses in verses 22, 23, 24, when it talks that Mary needed to go through the purification ceremony, I asked myself, what is this whole thing about ceremonial purification? What is the thing that God is teaching his people when, you know, the whole book of Leviticus, if you read it, I'm sure that when you get tired of your work and you're coming back home and after a whole day, you're saying, oh, I want to, you know, just relax and I'm going to open my Bible. I'm going to read the book of Leviticus, you know, to just enjoy myself after a long day of work. We don't do that, right? But if I can say that there is one thing that the ceremonial, the rituals and the ceremony teaches us about God, is the following thing. Do you want to hear it? Yes. Okay, because I hope that the only excited one was me. God, this is what the purification ritual is teaching us. God is a God of life. And he wants his people to live and do every single thing in a way that reflects that their God is a God of life. And not only that, but we are called to live reflecting that our God is a God of life, but also we should reject death by the way we behave, we act, is a life that rejects death. In the Old Testament, well, let me put it this way. The law of Moses, you know it, right, is divided into three main parts. They are the ceremonial law, the moral law, and the judicial law, right? You knew that. Now, the ceremonial law was meant to point to the moral law, the Ten Commandments, the summary, okay? Now, something that is hard for us to grasp is that every time we read in the Old Testament ceremonial impurity, we equate it with moral impurity, and that is not the case. You can be ceremonially impure and be morally pure in the Old Testament, okay? And why I'm saying that all this teaches us that God is a God who lives is because in the Old Testament, the nearer you were to death, the more you were impure, ceremonially impure, okay? Not morally impure. You can see how the giving birth of baby Jesus would render Mary ceremonially only impure because of the blood. And the blood in the Old Testament means life. Life that gets wasted, if we can put it that way. And since God is a God who lives, a God of life, in that sense, Mary got impured. Only ceremonially. And that's why the whole ritual. So Simeon come at the same time with Mary and Joseph, and the context is a context of life. When they brought baby Jesus, they were celebrating life, the life of Jesus, but also the life of the mother, because you will know that back in that time, the mother was considered to be near death by giving birth. So this is the reason why this is a song that celebrates life. But not only that, because of those reasons, but because Jesus is born, the one who is going to bring consolation to Israel is born. And not only that, but the Simeon, the one who is filled with the Holy Spirit, sees it, knows it, and he sings about it. And he says, and he also says that this consolation is not only for Israel, but also for us Gentiles. You know, in Christ, in that sense, is being revealed by the Holy Spirit, is being revealed by the Holy Spirit as the one who brings consolation to his people. Ironworks Church, friends, those who live in fear of death can't share this good news. Those who live in fear of death cannot share this news. Simeon wasn't afraid of dying, and he shared it with us, and Luke recorded it, and now we are reading and meditating on it. The Lord bless you.